Go ahead. Over.
Hello, everybody. It's G, and I'm with Chris, and you're listening to the Sit Rep podcast, your podcast for anything related to modern miniature wargaming. Chris, how are you this week?
I am awesome this week. I'm getting lots done this week.
Yes, you are. You've put me to shame, shall I say. I might have to hang up the microphone and just let you take over because you have just been on fire this week.
Yeah, I last week and this week I've gotten a lot done, and I'm planning on getting a lot done this whole month because I want to play some games in November.
That's excellent. Well, you know, it's going to get about that time when you start getting snowed in. So
yeah, it's already started.
Has it really?
Yeah, about probably 100 miles south of us, they got snow already.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everybody what you've been up to? I mean, there's quite a bit. So why don't you take us through what you've been got going on?
Well, I've got my 3D printer is down right at the moment. Or one of my 3D printers is down right at the moment. And so I've been catching up with all the 3D prints that I've been printing off. And so I've been working on all the 28 mil stuff. And I've gotten all but two vehicles primed and prepped. And the rest of the stuff is like probably, I'd say, more than three quarters of the way done. I've got BMP-1, BMP-2, BDRM-2, armored cars, BTR-60, trucks, UAZ jeeps, and I've done them up with, one's got a 12.7 machine gun in the back, and then I've got one with a recoilless rifle, and then I've got one going right now on the desk that will have four passengers in it. And then I'm doing one up with a full enclosed canopy and stuff. So, yeah, I've got quite a bit going. And the only things that I haven't touched, like I said, are there. What is it? A BTR-4 for my Ukrainians, and a T-72, another T-72 tank that are still just plain PLA from the printer. So
I'm telling you, man, you have been on fire. I'm looking at this one picture of all the vehicles you have in a tray.
Yeah.
Now, are all of those 3D prints?
One is not. There's a truck in the back row in the upper left-hand corner, probably.
Okay.
And with a canopy.
Yeah, I see it.
That's the only thing in that box lid that is not 3D printed.
That's amazing. I tell you what, that is. I like your technicals.
Yeah, they're looking really good.
Yeah, they are.
I've got one with one guy with the recoilless rifle with a balaclava on, you know.
Yeah.
I did them up so that I could use them for Ukraine, but I could also use them for in the Middle East, like Syria and stuff.
Sure.
Because those jeeps they're used all over the place.
Yeah.
I think even the Chinese military makes a copy of, or did make a copy of the UAZ. Now they've got what looks like a Humvee now.
Yeah, I saw that. And I mean, there's a movie that they just produced. It's like a Chinese Special Forces. I don't know if you've seen the...
Oh, I've seen that, yes.
And they had their version of the Hummers in it.
Yeah.
So that looks really cool. Well, you know, it's Chinese. They copy everything.
Well, they do. But what else have I been up to? I'm working on my 20 mil Canadians as well. I've just been cleaning the metal. And those are from Elheim. And what else? And my son and I started some buildings last weekend.
Oh, nice.
We started making templates so that we can cut all the foam core and all the other stuff up.
So you're going to make them out of foam core?
Yeah, mostly. When I worked at I don't think a lot of people know this. I don't work there anymore, but I used to work in a museum. In a local museum, uh-huh. And I used to be an exhibit technician, and we'd end up with lots of scraps of foam core from different exhibits, because we'd do the photographs onto the foam core,
right,
and use those on the walls and stuff because it's light, and so we would do that, and I would end up with boxes and boxes full of foam core, And it's not the white foam core, it's the high density black stuff.
Oh, nice.
So I ended up with quite a lot of that in different sizes, and there's enough there to make all kinds of buildings or whatever I want. So that's what my son and I have been doing. We're working on those, and we've been working on our Star Wars as well. So yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks.
It sounds like it. So you're going to be doing more of the setting, so you'll be able to use your 3D print. Is that what the buildings are going to be for that?
Yeah. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be making the building outer structures really quickly. And I've got files for windows and doors, furniture, all that kind of stuff. And we've got some of it printed already that we're using for the templates.
Okay.
So that we know what size to cut out for the windows. And then the frames and stuff just stick in, they glue in.
So are these 3D printed frames or just like accessories you order?
No, these are all 3D printed on our printers, and they're all some of the doors even open and close. And we can pop, we cut out the shape or the size for the door, and then we glue the door frame in with the door or the window or whatever. And so then we'll put holes in the walls and ruins, bricks, stuff like that. So we'll be casting up a whole bunch of bricks and plaster and stuff and putting those in there too as well. So it'll be really cool.
That is awesome.
I'm hoping we'll get at least enough to do a decent 4x4 table. By maybe mid-November, if we keep this pace up, we'll be mid-November we might be able to play, and I'm hoping to try a couple different rule sets and see which ones I like for what type of games.
Nice.
Because I've got one more rule set on its way to me. So when I get it and stuff like that, I'll talk about it in the podcast and let you know how I think about it and stuff like that. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Man, you have been extremely busy.
Yeah, I mean, we spent the weekend watching the Beasts of War boot camp and painting and building stuff, and that's what we did last weekend. We had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's good. So for everybody out there listening, if you're not aware, Chris has his own group, and it's his own Facebook page called Walkabout Games, and that's with a Z, or excuse me, Zed.
Zed.
And then for myself, I am part of the team over at Beasts of War / On Tabletop. And last weekend, they had Warlord Games over into the home studio, which is out of Northern Ireland. And they had a Bolt Action Desert Warfare weekend. And it looked pretty good. I really liked the lighting effects that Warren did. So they had a night battle. Yeah. So that really added to the game. If that's your cup of tea, it definitely was something to get into. So it did. We were inspired too. I actually got Dawn to play a historical war game. It wasn't even a war game. It was a card game. It was 1750. It was a Kickstarter that I backed. And how I found out about it was our very first Gen Con that we covered. For Beast of War, I saw this guy sitting at one of the little tables in the main game hall with a little sign. He says, "Here, come try my game." And I walked over there, and it was a rough prototype, but he had really beautiful artwork, and it was 1750, the British versus the French. And I was like, okay, this is a very interesting game. It's very politically strategic driven. It's a lot of fun. It plays quick. It's a really beautiful game. It uses a lot of classical artwork for the cards. So she got to play that. So
that's cool. She
doesn't normally play in a historical game. So not her cup of tea.
That's not my friends either.
So, that, kind of leads us into your weekly catch up, and mine, which was nil. I'm seriously hoping to get some time in this weekend. I'm hoping to squeeze some time in between my schoolwork. And I have to make an admission. Most of my free time these days has been playing a modded version of Grand Theft Auto 5. I hate video games, but I came across a mod so you can play the police in the game. And you can do custom cars and And it's very realistic in some aspects. In some aspects, it's obviously not. But it kind of scratches that itch for a retired cop where I can do pursuits and you can tase people. And it's pretty cool. So it's kind of, you know, taken on a new life. But I know I had some projects sitting here. I know I have pictures I need to post up on the Facebook page because I can't let you have all the glory. So I got some stuff up there.
Yeah. You have to get on that boat and get that boat done.
Oh, I'm telling you, I got to get that boat going. So, yeah. Moving on to another item, just doing some housekeeping. We had a poll going over the last week or so about you guys giving us input on how often you wanted to hear the podcast. And overwhelmingly, I want to say by 70% of the responses said every other week. So... Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty fair because it does help us, you know, with material and projects and stuff. And it gives me time to catch up to Chris at this point.
Yeah, scheduling interviews as well. Yes, that would help.
Most definitely. Yeah. So we are going to go to an every other week. It will still be on Fridays that it will release on Podbean and on Beasts of War on Tabletop and YouTube. It gets published on all three. I'm still trying to get Podbean. Supposedly Podbean will coordinate so it'll go live to Apple Music. It's not iTunes anymore, right? It's Music.
Music, I believe.
And then Google Podcast. So no matter what format you use, you'll be able to get the podcast and listen to it, whether to download it or to just listen to it in any format you want. So we're trying to make it very accessible to everyone out there. So that's exciting news as well. The other thing is we still have a scenario contest going on. And that's going to, what do we say, the 15th of October.
Yes.
And right now we have one big entry. You know what, though? That's okay. I'm thinking there'll be a couple more before the contest is over. And we're a new podcast. You know, we're still growing. We're brand new. We've only been doing this roughly a little over a month. And yeah. I think we're up to 60 subscribers. So
I think that was the last time I checked was 61, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, that's I feel good about that. I think that's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more we get out there and the more I'm telling you what, the Facebook page, you know, not only you, but a lot of other people have been posting things. So,
yes,
get on that Facebook page, put down your scenario so we can get a winner chosen. And I believe we do have a prize. So so we're really looking forward to your guys' ideas. The other thing is, speaking of the Facebook page, I've been looking over some things, and I think in each show we're going to do like the post of the week. There is one. Now, remind me, is this the Piers brand? Is he the one that's associated with...
Battle group? Yeah.
Is that why the pictures look so darn good?
Yeah, that would be him.
That's unfair. so I'm looking at these pictures. All right, so he took my idea. Not really, but I mean, I want to say that because it makes me feel better. But he has some amazing pictures of a table that they had set up. He originally posted it, I think, in the Spectre Operations Wargaming page for Vale Verde. And it's a cartel and you've got operators and the table is freaking amazing. Yeah. He totally stole my idea.
You know how we were talking to Ralph in the one episode about the one table that he saw with the ship?
Yeah.
Okay. That's Andy Singleton. Okay. Andy and Pierce do a podcast together called, I think it's called The Two Brits or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I've listened to it. It's a great show. And they've been doing a lot of modern. And it just looks phenomenal. The jobs that both of them are doing, it looks incredible.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm looking at these pictures. The total table here with the building in the center, the hacienda. You know, it's just amazing. The concrete roadblocks. And he paints really well on top of it. You know, it's not fair when you have professionals posting.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you guys are fans of World War II rule sets and games, this set, and this is one of Riskini's favorite rule sets, is this is the Battle Group.
Battle Group is my ultimate favorite World War II rule set.
Really? Why?
Yeah. I love the fact that you've got non-combat units in it. Like, you've got... You have to keep track of your tank's ammo. Okay? They've put that in there. But you've got supply trucks. So you've got supply.
Oh, nice.
You've got engineering units for bridging. And you've got... What else is in there? There's all these, like, medics. They feel like medics. There's a forward first aid area. There are all these kind of things that just kind of tie it in better for me than just playing. I like bolt action,
mm-hmm.
But historically, I find it's a better game. It feels more historically accurate, as much as you can get in the game. But and it's the battle rating system. Each when you build an army, you get a total. Like when you're building the army, it's done by points and stuff like that. But you're getting what's called a BR rating. Your battle rating is how many points you have from your officers and all that kind of stuff. And when you lose units, you pull a chit out of a bag or a box or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's got a number on it, or it could have an event, you've hit a mine or something like that, or aircraft come in. It's not always bad things. It can be good things. But when you're collecting those chits and you're losing units, you're getting all these numbers, and as soon as you hit your battle rating, that's it. Game over.
Oh.
So you're trying to, and you don't get to, you roll for orders, and that's how many orders you have for the turn. And it makes you pick and choose what units you're activating to do things.
Okay.
So some turns you might roll really bad and you get not very many units, and you have to be really careful as to what you're moving and stuff like that, or what you're shooting with. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot. I've got huge amounts of the books. I've got every book. And I enjoy playing it with my friends. It's a lot of fun.
So it makes me wonder, are we going to see a modern version?
Yes, we are. There's actually, Pierce had mentioned that we'll probably hear something about it fairly soon.
Okay.
I saw him mention it on Facebook. I think it was yesterday, actually. There's already some guys that have got a battle group Cold War. Their rules for it. But I know that they are working on the rule set, and it should be out. Yeah, it might even be next year. So that would be great if it's out. Yeah, and it'll be 1980s Cold War. So it'll be awesome. And I see Plastic Soldier Company has taken over the rules. They're manufacturing some Cold War stuff now. The M60s are out. The Leopard 1s are out. There's Russian infantry out. And we should be seeing other stuff coming out in the next little while too, I think. So...
Wow, that's stuff. I didn't know Plastic Soldier Company. I know they distributed the rules. I didn't know they were taking it over.
Yeah, they've now have the rights to it. And Mr. Kincaid, I forget what his last name, I can't remember his first name. He used to work for Games Workshop, and he's the author of the rules. And he's still writing the rules for them. I think the next book, I think the next book that's coming out soon. It might even be before Christmas, and it's on Hungary in World War II, in the battles and stuff around there. So it'll be, I guess that's 45. So it's towards the end of the war.
Okay.
So you see Tiger IIs and stuff like that. So it should be interesting.
That is. I have not had an opportunity to play that rule set. So I don't know why I don't have it. I typically have just about every other rule set. I'm a collector of rules, so.
Oh, I love rule books.
especially a well done, and their photography is amazing. I mean, just the stuff they post on their Facebook pages is just mind blowing. So.
Yeah, and the podcast that Pierce and Andy do is called A Few Brits in the Hobby.
We'll make sure we put a link to that one as well.
Yeah. But yeah, they do some really nice stuff. Andy's an amazing painter too. Like I just saw him do Spectre's one of their armored Humvees.
Mm-hmm.
And done up in a black paint job. So I'm going to assume it's, cuz I think the Iraqis paint their all most of theirs in black, the army, and it's got some kind of teddy bear stuffy stuck to the grill on the front of it. It's really entertaining, but it looks awesome. The guys are doing some amazing work with their modern stuff.
Wow, that's amazing. So, that's our post of the week. Pierce, nice job on your table. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It puts me to shame. I really need to step up my game. Man, I'm really falling down here. So another thing I wanted to mention this week here, this is October, the first week of October when we're recording this. Today is the 4th-ish. And yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Operation Task Force Ranger and Operation Gothic Serpent. So that was Black Hawk Down.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know. And it kind of has a special significance for me, just in the fact that one of my instructors at Black Hawk School was there. And one of my classmates who was coming out of the infantry, he was with the 10th Mountain, and he was there in Mogadishu when this all went down. And I can tell you, my dad knew some of the people that were in the 160th. That's the aviation, the special operations. My dad is a helicopter pilot, and he actually flew for the 12th Special Forces Group. So very tight-knit community. So it's just one of those things we'd like to remember those guys in the 25th. And it is kind of the basis of one of the expansions for Skirmish Sanjin.
Yeah.
And also for Force on Force. They had an expansion based on it as well. So just one of those things to think about. And it kind of goes back to our conversation from, was it last week we talked about Too Soon? So,
yeah.
You know, just keep it in mind, as long as it's done respectfully, then yeah. I don't, you know, it's okay.
So, well, how I found out about it, I used to play Airsoft a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and Colonel Danny McKnight, he does a lot of Airsoft events.
Like, does he really?
Oh, yeah. And a couple of the other guys do them as well. Those guys go to those Airsoft events, and they're big events. They're like, you know, a couple thousand people or 1,500 people or something like that. And they do it in California. And I think they've done them in a couple other places. And, Danny McKnight, and I forget who, Mad Dog, who else does it? There's a few of the guys that were there. One of the guys is one of the Delta guys.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm trying to remember his name. But yeah, I'll find out what his name is here. I'll look at while we're talking. And but yeah, they do airsoft events with all these people.
So and, I have to ask. I've never airsoft.
Yeah,
airsofted soft. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah,
my kids, my daughter and my two sons, lived and breathed airsoft for a couple years in high school. Now you know.
Yeah.
Now they do the real deal. But how do you? I mean, how do you know when you've been hit? I mean, I've been hit by an airsoft pellet. It can sting.
Yeah.
But if you're all running
around.
It's
either you feel it or you hear it.
I mean, but when you're running around, people could say, oh, I never knew it, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, there's cheaters. There is, you know. It's just one of those things. I played for 3 years. Yeah, 3 or 4. And you either feel it or you hear it hitting you. Because it makes a distinctive sound when it hits you too, right? So, but there is times where, you know, you might not hear it or feel it. And people need to understand, you know, sometimes I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
You got to be honest. But it's based on honesty, you know, as to, you know, some people just cheat. And I've seen it.
I tell you what, some people take it pretty serious.
Yeah, some people do. Yes. Yeah. Some of them really way too seriously.
Did you enjoy it? I'm assuming you ate it for 3 years.
I did. I spent a lot of money on it, you know, and I did enjoy it quite a bit. And I still have some airsoft stuff, but I've been selling it over the years. I sold some guns, and I bought my first printer with what I sold the guns for. So, you know, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, Danny McKnight and a bunch of the other veterans from the Mogadishu actually go to these events. I think they're called Lion Claw. I think that's the name of it. Yeah, Lion Claws is one of the events that they go to, and it's a big event. And the guy that runs that event, I can't remember his name, but he runs charity events. And one of the ones he does it for all different kinds of veterans groups. He does it, I think he does at least one major event, maybe two a year, like really big ones.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's, you know, I saw that post the other day and I was like, oh geez, yesterday. And I was like, yeah, I should post this up on our Facebook group.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I can't believe it's been 25 years.
Yeah.
Where's time gone?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about a little bit of news. So a piece that came out that everybody seemed to be very excited about is looks like Spectre Miniatures is going to be working with the guys over at Black Powder Red Earth on a new set of miniature wargaming or a add-on set to Spectre. I'm a little hazy on this. I'm not exactly sure what the mixes from the posts, and it's an animated series. Are you familiar with this? I have never heard of this.
I have not, and I've been looking for more information. I'm hoping they're going to post more as things progress.
Yeah.
But I had not. I believe my son does.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick his brain this weekend when he comes over and see what he knows, because he plays a lot of those games, right? So I'm going to see what he knows.
I'm on their Patreon site, and, you know, they don't show much. You have to become one of their patrons to get
it. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what it is. It looks almost like a comic book or, you know, I don't know what you call them, a grown-up version of a comic book.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. If any of you guys out there are familiar with Black Powder Red Earth, please, you know, fill us in on the gaps there and give us some more information, because I'm kind of in the dark on that one. I'm not really sure what that's about. So, moving on, there is a Kickstarter going on right now for, where is it? The War in Chechnya.
Yes.
And this is by Tiny Terrain Models, I believe, right?
Yeah, this is their second Kickstarter as well. Their first one was quite successful. And they just filled all of that Kickstarter, and now it's been available on their website for probably about a month now. And it's pretty cool looking stuff. And I'm probably going to be purchasing some of them, because they look like they'll fit in with my Ukrainian project. And I'm looking at the Kickstarter, and I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to back it, but it looks like a really good deal. So I might be, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I'm on the Kickstarter page right now and looking at the painted up models.
Yeah.
The Russians here, and
They look really good.
Yeah, and I believe I could be wrong about this, so no one, the same sculptor is the fellow that sculpted a lot of the miniatures for Special Artisan Service miniatures.
Oh, okay.
I believe his first name's Igor, and yeah,
Yeah,
I
Igor
like.
Karpov.
Yes, that's the fellow. Yeah, and they look really good. I like how his style. I really do. The old fashioned, because you see a lot of people doing the digital sculpting now.
So are these the old-fashioned wax?
Yeah, it looks like either the epoxy or the wax or whatever he's using. And I just like the look. It just looks really, really good.
Yeah, they definitely have that. You can tell he knows that region and what people from that area would truly look like,
Yes.
from firsthand knowledge. So, I mean, it's, I'm looking at there on the page. I don't know if you have it up, but on the page, there's a picture right towards the top. It says the 10-man Chechen squad from
Yeah.
the first Kickstarter. And I'm looking at those, and the first thing that came to mind was Red Dawn.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah.
that is totally Red Dawn.
Yeah, that yeah, I
The
thought the same.
original movie, not the remake, people. I
No,
have
not
not
the
even seen the remake. I don't, I can't bring myself to watch those movies. But
bad.
these are really nice.
Yeah, they're really, really
I
nice.
definitely, and he's past his funding goal, which is good. He's
Yeah.
got still 26 days to go, so I definitely would highly recommend you all hop over and check it out if that's something that you're interested in. I'm probably gonna have to back this one. There
It
goes
looks
my
good.
budget.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
So,
But I'm looking at it and I'm like, gee, these guys look awesome.
yeah, they're really
Especially the
good.
Russian fighters, they look really good.
They do really look good. So I'm just, and other things, what do we have else here too? You said you're getting a new rule set.
Yes.
What you getting?
Skirmish Sangin's on its way.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
And with that
And
comes what?
what's that?
And because you're getting that, we have a special guest, right, coming up.
Yes, we do. We will have Colin on the next episode. And we will pick his brain because I believe they've got a Kickstarter coming out soon.
Yes, they do. Yes, they
Yes.
do. And it's going backwards in time.
Yes.
Everybody else is coming up to the modern age, and they decided to go back in time.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to him and picking his brain, getting as much info as we can out of him. And what else? I heard rumors of some World War II from those guys as well.
Yeah.
So we'll pick their brains about that too.
That is awesome. I
Yeah.
am really excited about that as well. It's a really good rule set we've talked about before. So now this is going to be our chance to have a full episode dedicated to Skirmish Sangin and everything related to it, and what could possibly come down the pike.
Yeah.
And this, if you guys have questions, please get them in, and we will reach out when we talk to Colin. We will pick his brain for you. And my plan is, I this weekend I will review my copy of the rule book. Are you expected to get yours soon, Chris?
I should be getting it, maybe next week.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll have it next week. We'll see. I think it shipped last week, so I would think next week or the week after. So,
Okay, cool. So it's a good rule set, and I'll have to grab all my expansions for it, and we can definitely get into the depth of it, because I know people have been asking for us to really dive deep into some of these rule sets and see if it's
yes.
something that they're could truly be interested in playing. And I'm very anxious to talk to him about it. It's been a couple of years since I've talked to him. I haven't talked to him since Gen Con, what, 2 years ago, I think, is the last time I talked to him. So it's been a while. And Skirmish Sangin was the first modern rule set that I ever got that I really was interested in. And like I said, it's a great rule set. It really draws you in to the game. It definitely is that RPG, so I cannot wait to have that conversation. That's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
And so the other thing is, for all of those, there's a gentleman out there who does a blog called Charge Blog. So if you're ever looking for any great resources for, you know, modern rule sets, what's out there, he lists pretty much, he's got a quite extensive list on one of his pages. It's called The Great Big Modern Wargaming Rules Comparison, Complete Edition. So we'll put a link in there for that one. And it goes through Black Ops from Osprey, Danger Close, which is a one-page, two-sided, very easy Empress. Rules from Empress.
Yeah.
They talks about Force on Force and Oscar Sierra Charlie, which I totally forgot about, to be honest with you.
I've never heard of that one.
I saw it when I was doing some article research over on Beast of War, and I saw it, I think it's on like wargame. You know, the site where you can download rules from.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that's where I saw it from, and then obviously Skirmish Engine. And then Spectre Ops, which we know. And then there's Fireteam Modern Warfare, which I wasn't familiar with either. Oh. And then there's another game called Living on the Front Line, Winter of 79.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Winter of 79. I don't remember Warfare, but 79 was a bad year for snow in, around Chicago.
Yeah.
No End in Sight, Cold War, and Contemporary Platoon Level Campaigns. So War of Insurgency. Tell you where I work. Round of Fire, Universal System for Skirmish Battles. So he goes into, you know, where can you find the books these days? Where can you get expansions?
Mm-hmm.
The whole nine yards. So it's a very nicely well put together article. So I highly recommend, if you're curious about any of those, to go check it out. So other than that, what else you got on your plate, Chris?
Okay, so I'm working on other interviews.
Okay.
And we just mentioned Black Ops
mm-hmm.
from Osprey. I've been talking to the author of the rule set, and hopefully we can arrange to get him on the show.
Awesome.
Pretty soon. I've also been talking to Tiny Terrain Miniatures, and hopefully we can get one of the guys there over on to interview.
Sweet.
So I'm working on getting us some more interviews. It looks positive that we will have more interviews showing up on the podcast.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'm trying to look. I know somebody sent us a message. And I'm trying to pull it up here. He had some ideas. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to find those here in our inbox. It's nice. We've been getting quite a bit of comments and feedback. Simon reached out to us. Scenario, I was wondering if we're... Okay, so we already answered him. And then our good friend Carl. Mm-hmm. Carl's always commenting on things, which
yeah,
is great.
He does.
He's becoming a regular, which is cool. He has Nordic Weasel. Hello, I attach a loose campaign document I referred to. From Nordic Weasel. He was having trouble uploading it, so we'll have to reach out to Carl and see if we can get him up there. And then Jared posted a huge thing. I need to get this up. He's using what is it called? Combat Patrol.
Yes. I love Combat Patrol.
So there's a story behind this one.
Oh, okay.
So a year or two ago, I wrote an article about Combat Patrol for Beast of War.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who distributes it, and I cannot remember for life of me off the top of my
head. Well, I know the author's name.
Their distributor reached out to me and said, hey, we'd love to send you a copy of it for you to review and, you know, get your opinion on it because it was such a unique system.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw it. I'm assuming you went to Ireland, and if you've ever been to the studio over in Ireland – or seen pictures or videos, there's a ton of stuff. So you're going to have to fill me in, Chris.
Okay. The author's name is Buck Serdu.
That's
and he's
too
a
cool.
member. Yeah, and he's the author. The game can be played solo. It is a card-based game system. Okay. Everything you need is on the card. So you don't roll any dice. Your movements, you flip a card, there's your movement depending on what kind of unit it is. Your cover saves are on the card. Everything's on the card. It takes a little bit of practice, a couple games, to get used to the symbols and knowing what they mean and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My son and I have used it for Star Wars. Nice. Like large battles with AT-ATs and everything. And we've used it for World War II a couple times, but mostly Star Wars. But it is, sometimes people have a hard time finding other players. So solo play is a big thing. I know sometimes in my town, I have a hard time finding anybody that wants to play a historical game. Most of the people that I play historical games live in a town probably about 50 miles away. So sometimes we don't get to play very often. So I play solo games. If I want to play a World War II game, sometimes I play with box rules. I play with Combat Patrol. Uh-huh. And I've got the rules and I've got the decks, because it's based on each person's got a deck of cards. And you use those for damage. Everything's on the cards. Like, it's everything. Close combat damage, movement, shooting. It's all on there. And you can take the rules to an advanced level where if you take, you can be wounded by shots. It's not, you're instantly killed. You could play it that way as well. There's all kinds of rules. He's made the rules so that you can play them in all kinds of different time periods. I've seen people use it for Napoleonics, American Civil War, World War II. And I think I saw recently somebody was playing World War I with the rules as well. So it's very versatile. And especially if you're a solo player and you don't have a lot of, you know, people that you play with, it's a great system. I highly recommend it if you're into solo gaming. It works really? Yeah. Because sometimes I like setting up a battle and just playing out turns, and I use the cards because when you're flipping cards, you just do what it says to do on the card. You know, you're moving the things into positions, and it doesn't feel like you're cheating.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's quite entertaining. But I have heard that a couple people are trying to use it for modern as well, but like a platoon level, mm-hmm. not a skirmish level.
Okay. So,
yeah.
That's interesting. I'll have to definitely check that out. And also, Andrew Fisher wanted us to remind people that in November, the 9th through the 11th, so Veterans Day here in the U.S., mm-hmm. There is Millennium Con, yes, in Austin, Texas. And Spectre is going to be there.
Yes, I heard.
And I'm like, what the heck? Really, they'll go to Millennium Con, but they won't come to Adepticon? We have to fix that.
Yeah.
You know, come on, Adepticon, the largest miniatures wargaming show in the United States. So we definitely have to get them there. I'd love to see that. That brings up a topic. So, mm-hmm. Chris, do you get an opportunity up in Canada to go to gaming conventions? Do they have big gaming conventions in Canada? Or do you have to cross the border?
Most of the time you have to cross the border.
Okay.
I'm thinking of going to a couple across the border next year.
Well, you have an invitation to Adepticon. You already have a place to stay, so you just got to get down here and you're good to go.
Okay, so that's one of them. And the other one is in Washington State, and it's by the Historical Miniature Society. Uh-huh. It's one of their big ones. But we do have a local gaming convention. It's a small one. Mm-hmm. You know, we get a couple hundred people, and that is not this weekend. This weekend is Thanksgiving in Canada.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, and the following weekend is what's called NPC Con here in my hometown, and I will be playing on the Saturday evening. I'll be playing hopefully Sharp Practice, American Civil War.
Oh, awesome.
And then on the Sunday, this is what I'm really looking forward to, I will be playing Saber Squadron. which is a modern set of rules for company and up. So I think it not quite divisional. I think the max you can play, depending on what scale you're playing, is probably battalion level.
Okay. That's more mechanized rules, right?
Yes, mechanized. It does have infantry, but it is a larger scale of combat. So it's not skirmish level. But I will be taking pictures and stuff. So I'll post some pictures of the modern stuff.
So what scale will you be playing in?
I believe my friend Roy is bringing 15 mil.
Okay. Very cool.
For that.
So would you say it's comparable to Team Yankee or Flames of War?
I think it's a little bit more in depth.
Okay.
In some ways. I think the rules, it's a larger scale for sure.
Okay.
The combat is a little bit larger. But I think the rules are just a little bit more in depth. So, but I've had the rule book for a year and I have yet to play a game. And my friend from out of town said, "Hey, let's play Sunday. I'll bring the stuff. You just show up." And nice. I'm like, "Oh, let's play." But he had also offered to show me how to play the battle group set of rules that the guys had put out for modern, for Cold War. And I told him, "You know what? I think I'm going to hold off until I see the actual rule book. I don't want to get hooked on this set of rules and then find out, you know." But so we're going to play some Saber Squadron and hopefully some, maybe some board games in the evening on Sunday as well. So
nice. Do you have a preference as far as board games? What's your go-to board game?
For me, I don't have a go-to one, but my son's got favorites and we play those a lot. And, you know, Exploding Kittens, Munchkin, you know, the really fun, just silly games. My girlfriend likes getting in playing those as well. So
awesome.
That's what we play for those. But I was just looking, I've just been on the Modern Miniature Warfare site on Facebook. And Igor Karpov had posted 5 hours ago that he's got some new PMC miniatures. So private military contractors, there's three of them that he's showing brand new sculpts for. And I believe, yes, they are. They're for special artists and service miniatures.
Oh, nice.
So they look really good. Like, really good. One's got a saw by the looks of it. One looks like maybe a scar. And then an M4 with a suppressor on it. It looks really good. But I'll put those up on I'll share those to our Facebook group. But they look really good. So...
That is awesome. There's so much going on right now.
Oh, there's tons of modern coming out.
Yeah, I think it's definitely in the upswing, which is a good thing for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had more Humvees come out just recently too.
Tim's released his Humvee. I've seen pictures of his, painted up or starting to paint, and I like that they're putting on. You know, these are the up armored Humvees with the. I want to say Syngars, but I don't know if they're actually Syngars. I don't know. I've been out of the military since 2010, so it's been 8 years now. So I know in 8 years things change a lot, you know. And I keep thinking, it's only been last year, but it's been 8 years. So I'm not sure what the modern radios are, but they're looking really good.
Oh yeah,
really good.
I gotta get this project over so I can get to a project where I can have Humvees. But then I thought about it. I can have Humvees.
Yes,
because
sure
the Ukrainians
can.
Just got a whole bunch. I just thought of that.
There's no reason you can't. Definitely.
Forgot about that totally.
And that that leads to a thing. You know, we've talked about it before. How realistic you want to get, but. You know, it's a game. If you know, you want a vehicle, play a vehicle. You could say it's captured. You know, like a lot of the Soviet stuff, you could say that some Spec Ops guys captured a, BTR or something. And, and they're using that against the Taliban or, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking at those the Russian guys, and everybody has great ones. Spectre has really good ones. SASM has really good ones. Tim has got some really good stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to take a company of Rangers against the company of Russian whatever. So, you know, or anything like that. That's a cool thing. You can set up however you want.
Yeah.
So another thing that kind of brought my caught my eye, and I was wondering about your thought on it. On Tim's page on SASM, Special Artisan Service Miniatures, he shows a turtleback Humvee. That's the one with the sloping hard shell. That's what we call them, the turtlebacks. Painted all in black.
And yes, says, just look at that.
And, you know, that's his version of an ISIS-acquired vehicle. So the question I have, and, you know, this is going to be treading in a little bit of deep water. Do you think anybody will actually play ISIS?
You know what? I think there will be.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think, you know, like huge numbers. But it's like we've discussed before. You got to have the bad guys.
Yeah.
What, you know, people think is the bad guys or whatever. And there's going to be people that are going to play them. You know, like you go to reenactments, there's guys that are playing the Germans and there's guys playing the Japanese or, you know, and stuff like that. So I have no problems. I would play it. I have played the Taliban in a force on force game.
Oh, really?
I did not do well. I really did not do well, but I did play them. And, you know, we switched off, you know, the next game I played the Marines in that game and then he played the Taliban. So I think if you want to play a game, you got to have both sides, but, I can see people playing it.
Well, I know there are people out there that would, and, I don't know. I grew up in the era of John Wayne and John Wayne never played the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for me to want to play the bad guy. So, but I know there are people out there that have no issue with that and are more than happy to be the bad guy. You know, honestly, the bad guy is perspective of the winners and losers in history.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it. So obviously there's some people who have done some really, really bad things and the good guys won. But I mean, it does pose an interesting question. Would people play them? So
Here's an example. I'm Canadian, and we play a lot of World War II games. And one of my friends that plays locally, Battle Group, plays Canadians. And we wanted to play a historically fairly accurate scenario. So he played the Canadians, and I played the 12th SS.
Oh, okay.
And the 12th SS and the Canadians, bad stuff happened between the two of them. And we didn't go into that depth, but I played the bad guys.
Yeah.
I played the 12th SS and we played a historic, you know, game based on one of the scenarios that's in one of the Battle Group books. And we had fun and we did a lot of research building those forces and what happened in that period of time, in that scenario that it's based on. And we learned a lot, you know, we learned all these things that we did not know, playing and doing research. So that's important. Even with modern events, I think you can learn a lot.
Yeah.
I think you can learn what these people are going through, and what's taking place by just doing a little bit of research before you do a game.
Most definitely.
You know, so I think it's important that, you know, people know, you know, sometimes you can play the bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to learn something from it, play the bad guys, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying play the bad guys all the time, but, you know.
Yep, most definitely. So I thought about, let's closing out the show here. I was still here on the Special Artisan Service Managers page, and they posted a picture from a year ago of a abandoned infantry fighting vehicle from the Ukrainian 24th Mechanized Brigade, camouflaged in, of all things, newspaper.
Yes, I saw that.
So, challenge out there to you, Chris, since you're got all these vehicles, put one with newspaper on it. Let's see how it looks. Can you camouflage it to look like a newspaper? That is kind of ingenious. I have to give him that. I would never thought of that.
I've seen it before.
Have you?
I've actually seen also White Lace.
Really?
During the Battle of the Bulge, American units were taking like White Lace tablecloths and curtains and stuff and draping them over their vehicles.
Huh.
I've seen actual photographs of these vehicles. What's the M18? I think it was an M18 Hulk with just lace on it. So it, you know, whatever breaks up the pattern, you know.
Yeah, whatever works in the time of battle.
Yeah. I almost forgot about one other thing that I saw this week.
Okay.
It's from Spectre. They've got new Cartel miniatures out.
Yes, they do, and I cannot wait to get those because that's going to perfectly fit into my scenario.
They look excellent. There's a guy with a 50 caliber Barrett gun. Yeah. I'm like, wow. But it looks really good. I'm hopefully going to get some Spectre miniatures this month because I've seen a few miniatures that I want to use for my Ukrainian game. Mm-hmm. And actually, the Syrian, was that Mina?
Yes.
Is that how they pronounce it?
Yes.
They've got some regular forces, and I'm thinking about getting those for some regular Ukrainian infantry.
Yeah, I have some of those. Those, for anybody not out there, what MENA stands for, it's MENA, Middle East, North Africa. So it's designed to be used in any of that part of the regions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're really nice. And I'm looking for the Cartel. Cartel ones.
The Cartel look really cool.
I really don't need to see all this. And I see that Ralph, our friend, posted up on the Spectre page the link for the Academy 148 Hughes 500 that you can turn into a little bird. So definitely have to get on that. Man, those trees look good. Okay, I got to quit looking at these pages. They're really making me mad now. It just shows how slacking I've been. Any last thoughts, Chris?
Nothing right at the moment. But, you know, guys, if you guys want to post some pictures, I know we both would love to see what you guys are working on. So, you know, post them up on the Facebook group. Let's get some conversations going. I'd love to see some more stuff. I know there's a couple people that are thinking about posting stuff. Come on, guys, post some stuff.
Yeah.
Don't make me the only one that's posting pictures. We got to get some pictures up there, get some chat going. Talk about rules. Talk about scenarios. Don't forget about that scenario contest.
Yes, most definitely.
Your entries in. I'll be bugging people this weekend about entering the contest.
Yeah, that's a great reminder there. And we're still working out the logistics of getting a live show where we can get audience participation. That's going to be what you said when we get our 100th subscriber member to the page.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll have Ralph and Jim. Hopefully Jim has recovered from his jet lag from coming back from Ireland, and we'll get him on the next show.
Yeah.
So anything else to close out the show, Chris?
I think that's it.
Yep. So just as a reminder, everybody, because of your input on the polls, the show will be going to every other Friday. So this will be this Friday, and then we will see you in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And as we say always, we're going to RTB, return to base, and until the next time, we will see you.
Bye, everybody.